Everybody has a podcast. Podcast.
What's up, everyone? Oh man, we're back. It's Monday night, 4:29, 9:34 in the PM. Hope all of you had a nice week and weekend, of course. And got Baller Buster tonight, so that'll be fun. Welcome in, folks.
Jay Wiggy, take out the trash.
Baller or Buster coming up. Looking forward to that all year. Had a good year last year. I need to find our notes on our 2023 Baller or Buster to see how our picks did in the season. We got that coming up. I have a pretty friendly list. I'll go ahead and hint at that. I see more ballers than busters, but who they are, stay tuned. Got a Star Wars review and just a good Monday night. Good way to kick off the week. Some UFL too. Grant Mills, your weekend. Excitement. What happened? Anything? Or was it just pretty chill?
It wasn't bad. It was chill. Just went to the bars and kind of had a low-key weekend, cleaned up a little bit. Nothing too exciting. Downloaded NBA 2K24. I'll review that later on. So I wanted to kind of actually, I wanted to give this one a good chance. So you'll see what I say about it here when we have our game review later on. Gotcha. What about you, my friend? How was your weekend?
Good weekend. Busy working on the little shed project. I am pretty much done. Got to build some doors to that. I got to paint it, and we are good to go. Finally moving some shit out of my garage gym. It started getting full into the shed. And, man, I spent most of my weekend, I feel like I did that. My daughter had some cheer tryouts 2 days. So,
cheer tryouts. Was that for school?
No, it's for a competition team for the city. I think her school starts at seventh grade. She'll be in sixth next year. So it's kind of
prepping. They do all the crazy tricks and throw them up real high in the air.
Man, it is. Yeah, it's there's a lot involved to it. So she ultimately did get on the team, which is great. I'm happy for her, proud of her. But man, it's a lot of when you're a parent, a lot of chauffeuring around the kids, pickups, drop offs. I'm big truck, man. That gas mileage ain't made for that. I can never go minivan, but I'm gonna have to get something more economical down the line.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. You got to get like a little beater.
Yeah, I need one. I need something that's a something to toot around the town in.
Or do you have to carry a bunch of kids around?
Nah, just usually my two. I don't like to drive other people's kids around and shit. Yeah. I don't do all that shit. I just
badass kids fucking up shit.
Yeah, I don't like that. And you know, I'm grateful for the parents when I was a kid that was the parents that gave all the kids a ride up and down the street to parties and carpooled and let us do that. My parents were never like that. And man, maybe I got it from them because I am not like that either. I think as a guy, it's harder too because, you know, dads are like viewed as the gruff one. And I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a dad's place. Not trying to play sexist positions, but moms are sweeter. They seem to like it more. Dads just get grumpy about that kind of shit. All right, sit your ass in town back there.
Yeah, I couldn't, I don't know about all that. It doesn't seem like a fun endeavor.
It's not, but, you know, to get the good and the lovings and all that with the kids and see them grow up and all that, you got to go through the sacrifices of gas mileage and time away and investment into them. But you know what? It was good. She made it. Happy with that. Busy weekend working around the house. Good there. Didn't get to watch too much UFL. Watched a little bit. And we know Birmingham remains undefeated. Again, we'll get into that in a bit. So, yeah, good weekends all around, it sounds like.
Good deal, my friend. I think we got somebody. Where's she at?
Real tramp shit. Hey, y'all.
What's up,
Miss? How y'all doing? Y'all have a good weekend?
Yeah, it wasn't bad, man. I mean, you just hurt us, didn't you?
No, dumbass. I was holding on hold, stupid feet.
Oh, sorry. I thought you could hear us.
Yeah.
So what'd you do this weekend?
Well, baby had a business trip, so I just stayed around the house and she chilled out with my dogs. And, you know, me and my dogs, y'all. We went for a, run. I took them for a ride. I love them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sounds pretty relaxing.
I'm on. Y'all know what's up.
Well, good deal then. Good deal. Everybody had a good weekend. Oh. So, Wiggy, did you check out The Phantom Menace? How'd you feel about that?
I did check out The Phantom Menace. Man, I'll go ahead and rip the bandage off. I'll give you guys a mini review. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. So Star Wars is weird, and I had to learn this through my friend Chuckles, who's a big Star Wars nerd. He said you can watch Star Wars one of two ways. You can watch it in the order the movies actually came out, and or you can watch them in the actual chronological order. Because if I'm right, and I'm learning this shit for you guys to watch these movies, The first one that came out, I think it was 1977. That's not the actual first movie. That's episode 4, I believe. I think I'm right. Yeah, New Hope, 1977. That was the first one that came out, but that's episode 4. And then the one that most people are familiar with, The Empire Strikes Back, that one came out 1980, and that's episode 5. But you had to wait all the way to 1999 to get The Phantom Menace, which is actually episode 1. Dude, how confusing is this shit already?
It's like, yeah, that is pretty stupid. Yeah.
Why don't you just release episode 1, your first fucking movie? But all right, before I get critical about it, there's some good shit about this movie. I sat down and I watched it. I did about half of it on Friday when I was working, kind of chill, taking it in. And then I did the other half today. And I really try to focus on it, man. There's some good actors in the movie, man. Samuel Jackson, Natalie Portman, Liam Neeson. Some good clout of actors that are in there. It looks good. Visually, it's a CGI wonder. There's these little machines they tool around on. They shoot. They have the lightsabers, a double-ended lightsaber. Hey, that's kind of cool, man. I can get down with that kind of stuff. It's 1999, so is it something you would see in 2020? Not quite, man, but it's pretty damn close. So the movie itself, beautiful, pretty cool. It takes place on, what, Coruscant? And then the underwater wonders of Naboo? Man, all these places and shit. This is why I tell you about these things. We talk about video games that have a lot of involvement and depth in their worlds. Same with Star Wars. I just can't. It's hard to keep up with. Jar Jar Binks, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Qui-Gon Jinn. All right. So, good thing. The movie looks good. Visually appealing. Pretty cool. Man, the bad thing was it just sucked. Man, the acting was really bad, and these are good actors. It seemed like the script was off. It seemed really like wooden, almost like they're going through reeds. And I'm not the best actor in the world, but it was just very, very hard to watch, especially like a younger Natalie Portman. Seems like she's literally practicing her lines, and you know, I will live on the planet Naboo with Qui-Gon. It's just really weird. So I thought, am I alone in this? This is 20 years after the first movie came out for Star Wars, 22 years. So you would think it would have gotten better in that time. I'm not alone. I went to Rotten Tomatoes and I looked at the list of Star Wars movies ranked by the tomato meter to see which one people like the best. And all the way down to the bottom, there's a total of 12 that they have. Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace, ranked number 11 of 12. And it says the same thing that I was thinking. It's visually dazzling, but it has stock characters and very, very basic, generic script. It's weird. It's noticeable, Grant Mills. It's really, like, just very bumpy. Have you ever seen this shit?
I have not. I've seen the old ones, like Empire Strikes Back, and what was the, right. the fucking one? I didn't get into all the newer ones.
I think to their defense, I can see why people would watch The Empire Strikes Back and The New Hope, the early ones, because I feel like they relied on a lot of special effects, but I think those primitive special effects actually put you in that world. Like if you go back in time, you know that George Lucas had like a miniature scale model of space and the Death Star and all that shit that he recorded. But it made it look really genuine. I think this one almost is too heavy CGI. I think they almost went too far in on the CGI and so far under on the acting. It was just really terrible on that. So I wasn't shocked. It ranked 11 out of 12 total Star Wars movies. The Clone Wars that came out in 2008 was absolutely at the bottom. They said it sucks at cock. Can we say that? it wasn't a good start for me, but I'm going to continue watching these. The overall ranking on Rotten Tomatoes, 59%. fans say 3.9 out of 5-star review. If I'm going to give it on the Grant Mill fart meter, which you like to rank your video games by, I would go 2.5. I would go 2.5 stars on this.
Y'all agree that those Star Wars films, not the original, but the newer ones that came after, they had a lot of flat acting that kind of like dragged the film? And yeah, that's what, for me as an audience member, I can tell you because I'm an audience member and a person who does, who's a movie critic, who does movie reviews, I get invited to a lot of private premieres to get my opinion on what I think about the film, and I go under an anonymous name. I'm not going to say what my anonymous name is, but
Mr. Enigma.
Yeah, there you go. You got it. I knew somebody was going to get it. But yeah, so I do all these like fun movie reviews. I do it on the side for fun, and because the love of movies and stuff, and I want people to actually enjoy the movies that come out and get an actual real movie review, not just some snobbish person's review from Hollywood that practically don't know shit about movies or don't know about like how it takes to make these films or like that acting style, and somebody who's been in film for quite a while now, starting as a fan of film and then working their way up to doing this little side project. You know, I can honestly tell you the delivery of the lines were just, I mean, they weren't appalling, but they were just kind of depressing on certain scenes. I mean, critical scenes.
I think you said it really good. Yeah, flat is a very good way to put it. It almost seemed emotionless and
right.
They were just reading the script and not actually acting.
Putting character into it, putting actual lifelike dialogue. And Natalie Portman's character, they did her such a disservice when they wrote her character dialogue and wrote her character. It could have been, it should have been way better than what it was. Natalie Portman, if you listen to this sometime in the future, honey, it was not your fault. You're a phenomenal actress. The writers who wrote that script were just spot on shitty. They just did not do you a service. And I'm surprised. I'm surprised half her dialogue was approved for a final. I'm like, really? I mean, where's the real emotion? Where's the actual, you know, lifelike character in that? You know, like a woman wouldn't just, you know, be so flat in her dialogue with her husband or her boyfriend, you know, just depending on what part you're seeing, she'd be more emotional about it. I felt no emotional connection to her character whatsoever. And I love when writers write storylines where I can get emotionally involved with the characters. It makes me feel like I'm really there. This Star Wars films were just they just seem more like a ploy to get money, to get the nerds in to watch these films. It just was really a disservice to fans all around.
So what was your favorite Star Wars movie, Mr. Enigma? Oh, by the way, that's Mr. Enigma. I forgot to introduce him.
Right. I have to say my favorite one probably has to be Return of the Jedi.
Ah, nice. Okay. That's one of the old school ones.
Yeah, I think the old school ones seem to be the consensus that's right. Where it's at. So I'm going to continue that. I go 2.5 out of on that. Yeah. But I'm going to go with episode 2 this week, Attack of the Clones. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to continue. Yeah, I'm going to continue the chronological order just because that's how I started. Uh-huh. Because also, I want to see how it evolves, but you're actually going back in time to get better. But you're going ahead. Episode 199, episode 2, 2002. And then you got to go Revenge of the Sith, 2005. Then you go back to 4.
I want you to pay attention, JW. Pay real close attention to the editing cuts, because the editing cuts in these films compared to the old films were horrible. When I say horrible, I mean when you're watching the film, it's supposed to have a nice steady film roll from one scene to the next scene. Even the newer ones are like a murder suspect in a murder. They made it so obvious on the hard cuts that they cut the film, and they were splicing from one scene to another, and there was no like smooth roll. And I was like, why would y'all do that? Why would y'all commit such a film? That's what you call like one of the deadly sins of film making, is making obvious hard cuts. And you'll see it even in that film. You can see the hard cuts, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to spoil it, because once you see it, you're gonna really laugh at it. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, definitely not the best start. I was hoping for a little more, but I'm optimistic that it's gonna get better. So at least according to Rotten Tomatoes, and I agree. I think their reviews were exactly how I felt watching it. Very very flat delivery of lines. Very visually appealing. And if you're watching it in chronological order, it's definitely a bumpy start. But the good thing about a bumpy start is typically it gets better. So
that's my. And I gotta say, what made Star Wars, like the original series, so amazingly awesome was the fact they use basic special effects. They use a lot of miniatures and like a lot of little little figurines and stuff. But you know what? That's what was cool about it, is because they did it so well with the motion with those characters, that you couldn't even really tell that those were stock pieces or like special effects models. And when you see the new CGI with the new Star Wars films, for me, visually, it takes away from the eye joy. I like to call it eye joy, the visual appeal of the storyline. You know, I want to be intrigued with the colors or with what's going on. I want to be captivated by it, not just shoom, 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 done. It's like, what the hell?
Right.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on from the from this Star Wars shit. I like Star Wars, man. I'm not a big nerdo about it, and that's cool if you are, but
I agree with the
older ones are way better, but I will say something. I did have sex with a girl this weekend.
Oh, how did that go? You got to tell us about it.
Yeah, so she was so she was so fat. There was an actual horse on her polo shirt.
That's pretty good. I'll give that one an 8 out of 10.
All right. So, as you guys know out there, this motherfucking week, or this show, we got Baller or Buster 2024. We're going to break down the first 10 picks of the fucking NFL draft. We're going to tell you guys who we think is going to be a baller or a buster. So you know what? Without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this shit right now.
Who's gonna be a buster? Grant Mills, Jay Winky, and Wes Kirky. Gonna break down the first 10 picks of the NFL draft. We'll see who's a baller, who's a buster. Stay tuned!
What up? Okay, Baller Buster, 2024 edition. So, did you guys watch the draft this weekend?
Yeah, definitely watched it. Tuned in. Saban put on a show.
I mean, me and the dogs checked it out. Yeah, pretty good.
All right. Well, the first 10 in the draft is what we're gonna kind of break down to this show. We may be a little surprised at the end there. So. First pick, we all know who this is going to be. The Chicago Bears selected quarterback Caleb Williams out of USC. 2022 Heisman Trophy winner, finishing the season with a record-breaking 333 completions for 4,537 yards and 42 touchdowns. He also rushed for 382 yards and an additional 10 touchdowns. Followed up his sophomore year with another 266 completions for 3,633 yards, 30 passing touchdowns, and 11 rushing touchdowns in 2023. Caleb Williams, you know what? I think he's a bust. I just got a feeling about this guy. He doesn't rub me the right way. This guy, I don't like this guy. I think Pat McAfee said it the best. He's kind of like one of these guys that acts like he's like God's gift to the NFL already. He ain't even done nothing. Man, you fucking played at USC, the Pac-12. And before that, where is he? Oklahoma, I guess. I'm giving this dude a bust. What do you think, Jay Wiggy?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't like his attitude. Saban on the show, again, great appearance by Nick Saban. I thought his draft analysis was excellent. But, yeah, Caleb Williams, man, I think he's a bust. Bad attitude. Honestly, not that you go back to somebody like Jay Cutler, who played at Vanderbilt and played tough competition, did not have the best records when they were there, but he was turned out to be a pretty good quarterback professionally. Caleb Williams, man, I mean, 2023, they went 8-5, 2022 a little better, 11-3, and then 2021, I think that's when, was that his freshman year? Was he there then, or did he transfer after? Either way, he didn't make enough of an impact on the program and under Lincoln Riley to really do anything. And quarterback leads that program. I feel like if he was really an outstanding talent, they would have had a little bit better record. Can't blame that all on the quarterback. But as far, a number one pick, man, I think you're going to let him a little better. Kind of got that Kyler Murray athleticism. I just think the NFL is going to overwhelm him. I see a bust in the future. And I think he's overrated.
Yeah, he's not. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Wiss.
I mean, he's a buster, y'all.
Thank you.
Mr. Enigma, what about you, man? What do you think?
Oh, I think we have ourselves another Johnny Football in our hands. He's going to be a bust for sure. That cocky attitude, the way he comes, the way he's been coming in and stuff. I just don't see him performing the way they think he will. I think he's just going to, like I said, fizzle out like Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a buster. That's pretty much unanimous across the panel here. Now, let's see. We got pick number two is Jaden Daniels. Now, he's getting a lot of comparisons to Lamar Jackson, dual threat quarterback. Final year at LSU, 236 completions, 3,812 yards, 40 touchdowns. Also rushed for 1,134 yards for an additional 10 touchdowns. Let's see his awards. He's got the Heisman, the Davey O'Brien, the Manning, the Johnny Unitas, SEC Offensive Player of the Year, AP Player of the Year. So, you know what? This is almost a 50-50 ball for me because I think he needs to gain about 20 pounds. And I'm just not sure about that O-line out there in Washington. But you know what? I know he was with ASU for, the first couple of years, right? Under Herm, Big Perm out there. And so, I'm going to give him a baller recommendation. Baller. Just because I think he'll either get it together, not in the beginning. I think he might get traded to a team and then do it. It's kind of thinking where his path is going to go. Jay Wiggy, what do you think?
Honestly, you stole the words out of my mouth. Looking at him, 6'4", man, he's got a lot of room to put some weight on the frame, but it says he's 210. I never even thought he was that big. He kind of had that Bryce Young look to me. I never realized he was even that tall, that big. I think if he gets to 225, 230, that's going to benefit him. He's going to be stronger. Looking at his record, it's weird because he started out fantastic at Arizona State. Then 2 years in, he's 10 TDs, 10 interceptions. Not that great. And he comes back and really, 2 years after that, wins the Heisman. Just a fantastic player. I think it's team dependent. I loved watching him this year. He gave Alabama all sorts of fits at LSU. So, you know, it's. I think you're right. I think if he gets to a team that can handle his style, I think he will be a baller. But just seeing what I saw his last year, 50-50 shot, I agree 100% Grant Mills, but I'm going to go baller.
Baller! Wes, what you think?
I mean, that boy's from the SEC. I think he's going to be a baller. And I agree with Grant Mills and Jay Wiggy. Yeah.
All right. Straight up. Mr. Enigma, what are you thinking?
I definitely think he's going to be a baller. I mean, he's proven himself, you know, how he can handle himself under certain stressful positions in college. And he's done his thing. And, you know, he's has his elusiveness. And he's made plays out of practically when they were nothing. I thought they were going to be dead plays or for loss. But he's somehow... He made a play out of nothing, and I think he's going to continue. Yeah, he had his 10 interceptions and all that stuff, and his little downward spiral, but I think he's really going to come out and shine, and I think he definitely will be a baller.
Awesome. Unanimous baller. I forgot to do the fart sound for for Caleb. Hold on. Yeah, Buster. All right. Yeah, so I think he definitely needs to gain some weight because he's not going to be able to doing all that running in the NFL.
No.
If you look at Cam Newton and just what a fucking beast he was, but after that Super Bowl, he was not the same. Just not the same quarterback.
Make him dangerous like Lamar Jackson. You know, probably Lamar Jackson is you know. That man's O-line really, really, really needs to clean up. I mean, there's been so many times that Lamar Jackson had an opportunity to make a play, but that O-line couldn't hand up. And if this guy gets an O-line just like that, he's going to be like practically another carbon copy of Lamar Jackson. Great quarterback, crappy offensive line.
Well, the one good thing is he's not – Cam Newton was a different quarterback, you know, which, as I said, this is kind of the other part, the other side to what I said. He is, he's good with avoiding hits, right? He's got the moves, you know what I mean? So whereas Cam Newton would just run you over, he would take those hits. And you can only do that so much. The only thing with Jaden, if he does happen to get hit or absorb some hits, could be detrimental without that extra padding, that extra weight on him. So got him as a baller, folks. Let's go ahead and get to pick number 3. That is Drake May, selected by the New England Patriots, with the Patriots trading off our boy Mac Jones, Roll Tide, to the Jacksonville Jaguars to be behind old Trevy. They need a quarterback, right? So he was UNC, Chapel Hill. He was ACC Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. 342 completions, 4,321 yards, 38 touchdowns. Followed up that performance in his second year as a starter, going for 269 completions, 3,608 yards, and 24 touchdowns. He received a 6.50 prospect grade at the NFL Combine, leaving him in boom or bust territory there. So this is kind of a... another 50-50 ball. He's with a team that I don't know what the fuck's going to happen with them right now. They got a new coach. I don't even know who the OC is over there right now. But that's a big question because they had Josh McDaniels for a while, which was really good with old TB. And Bill Belichick's not there anymore, although shit was going downhill when Tom left because they put – fucking Matt Patricia in charge of the OC when he was a DC for years. I don't understand that. And so this franchise has got a lot of questions. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put this dude at a bust. Jay Wiggy, what are you thinking?
Gosh, man, this one's a weird one. I liked Drake May a lot in college. In fact, go back, rewind the tape. 9 months ago, when we were on here doing our 2023 college football preview, he was one of my players to watch. How I got to there is 2022. Drake May was ACC Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, all this other
ACC, shit. ACC, though. ACC.
That's the good point. Here's the thing. His numbers were pretty solid, though. I mean, at North Carolina, you're thinking, okay, he's not going to do much. 4,300 yards. We're talking 2022, though. 38 passing TDs, 7 interceptions. Eyebrows raised. Go to 2023. I'm telling you on the podcast, this is the kid to watch. And he kind of fizzles. He goes from ACC Player of the Year to second team all ACC, from 38 passing touchdowns to 24, 7 interceptions, I said, 9 interceptions the next year. So he goes on a downward trajectory. Now, that's not just always on him. The scout said, though, most, if not all, of his interceptions were his fault. It wasn't like it was a close grab, a fade route where, you know, it was just poor decisions and throws. So I initially had him as a baller throughout the year, and I initially thought I was going to go baller. I think you're right about the Patriots. That's a really, really solid analysis. For some reason, they love white wide receivers and white quarterbacks that fizzle out in the past couple of years. I wish I could justify him being a baller because I think the potential's there. I just don't see it, though. I'm with you. I'm going to go bust.
Buster! Wiss, what do you think?
I mean, I don't really know a lot about this guy, but I'm going to say he's a buster, y'all. That's what I think, y'all.
I got another buster vote. How about you, Mr. Enigma?
I'm going to have to agree with y'all. I think it's going to be a bust. I didn't really see anything too special about him, and I think he's more of like, I think he'd be, in the beginning, I'll say he'd definitely be a bust, but I think later on as he gets used to being in the league and the different rules and things, I think he'll ball out later, but for now, I think he'd be a bust.
Yeah.
All right. So, unanimous buster.
With that note, I got to go, y'all. This is
all right, buddy. Yeah, well, thank you for being a guest picker so far, and come back on anytime. We'll get you on. We'll do some
catch you next week, Mr. Buddy. Enigma, and we'll hit the second Star Wars review.
Nice.
All right, bud. Thanks for coming on.
Which one are you going to watch?
This will be, which one did I say earlier? The second
what was
one.
The next one?
Yeah, the second one in chronological order. Which one? I forget the name of it already. This Anthony shows how much I'm.
Or...
It's the one that came out. That. Shit, I have
is
to go back to
Phantom Menace or Phantom Menace. No,
what's after the Phantom Menace? Phantom Menace. Hold on, everybody. Let's find out what's after the Phantom.
Yeah, because that's gonna bug me now.
Attack of the Clones. Is that it?
Yes, Attack of the Clones.
Okay. All right, cool. I'll definitely be back on for that one.
Yeah. Brush up on the Attack of the Clones, and we'll get down on it.
Good deal. Thank you, Mr. Enigma, for hanging out. All right, so we're going to be at number 4 now on the Baller or Buster list, and that is going to be wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., widely regarded as the best wide receiver in the draft. Old Marvin was selected by the Arizona Cardinals with the number 4 pick. Throughout his collegiate career, he made history as the most decorated wide receiver in Ohio State history. Final season, he had 67 receptions for 1,211 yards, 14 touchdowns. Also a recipient of the Biletnikoff Award, the Big Ten Graham George Offensive Player of the Year Award, Big Ten Richter Howard Wide Receiver Award, and he was a Heisman Trophy finalist. And, of course, the son of the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Marvin Harrison. So, NFL lineage here. Ohio State, it's a good program. I think this is going to be a baller. I think you got to think about Kyler, too. But I think if they don't get it together there, he'll end up being a baller wherever he goes. So, yeah, I'm going to put him at a baller. What do you think there, Wiggy?
LD's going to be happy, the Arizona Cardinals fan himself. I'm with you. Don't have a lot to say because, really, he said it all. I mean, look at that. Finalist for the Biletnikoff, wins the Biletnikoff, consistent all around, comes from a good pedigree, good numbers all around, 6'3", 209, maybe a little room to grow. But, man, I mean, I think if you're looking for a wide receiver, I don't see how you get much better than Marvin Harrison Jr. So I have got him as a baller all day long.
Wiss, I think I know what Wiss is going to say.
The Ohio State University Moon. He's definitely a baller, yeah.
All right, so that's a baller. He is a baller, folks.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go to a number five pick. I don't know a lot about this guy. Joe Alt.
Offensive linemen are kind of hard to – because here's the thing. They're typically going to do well, and especially this big motherfucker. So I'm curious about your breakdown. Yeah.
See, yeah, that's a different position. And then he come from Notre Dame, though. That's my only thing. Was Manti Te'o a bust?
I mean, yeah, I think so, right?
I don't know. I can't remember how. I know he played in the league. I'm not sure for how long, but the Chargers selected 6'9", 321-pound offensive tackle Joe Alt.
Goddamn.
From the Fighting Irish Notre Dame with the number five pick. Looks like Jim Harbaugh. Damn, that doesn't sound right. Harbaugh. He really wanted this guy and the GM, Joe Hortas. And so they Los Angeles Chargers. Wait a minute. That Harbaugh was with San Diego. Who is this?
Who is the Chargers? The Cargers. Whoops.
I think it is Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. Okay, it is Harbaugh. Right. Yeah. That's right. Okay. But, yeah, okay. I get me confused because I'm still thinking they're the San Diego Chargers. So.
Well, yeah, and man, all the Los Angeles stuff and the team moving, I never keep track of that. So, no, you're fine.
Yeah, I always think of them as fucking San Diego. Okay, so that's what fucked me up. Looks like he was a 2023 finalist for the Outland Trophy and Lombardi Award, both of which are presented to the nation's best lineman. He's also the son of two-time NFL Pro Bowler and Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame offensive tackle John Alt. I'm just going to go ahead and give him a baller because I think he's got NFL lineage. I think he's got a good chance. Plus, he's a big motherfucker and he's a lineman. So, what do you think, Wiggy?
Yeah, I think he's a baller. I mean, and also, I had a look real quick, just NFL draft, how often do offensive tackles and linemen bust? It just really doesn't happen that much. I mean, you mostly get hits because it's – I don't want to say it's a simple position, but I do think in lineman terms, especially offensive, you're built for it or you're not. And this dude is enormous. What is it, 6'9"? 330 pounds. He's long-limbed. He came from Notre Dame. Dude, I mean, yeah, your chances of being a baller at that position, a position you're born to play, I mean, yeah, I think that's pretty easy to say. I mean, you can be fast and speedy, but that doesn't mean you can be a wide receiver. If you're a big dude and you can stand in the pocket and block, dude, you should be fine. So, baller all day, Joe Alt.
Baller.
Make that money.
I'm just going to say buster to be different, yeah.
All right, so he says Buster. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a baller. I think he'll be all right.
Yeah.
Oh, we got the number six pick coming up. Looks like it's wide receiver Malik Nabers to the Giants. Daniel Jones is a quarterback at this team. And then Malik Nabers comes from LSU. In his final season, he went for 1,569 yards, caught 14 touchdowns, Biletnikoff Award finalist, first-team All-SEC selection by the AP and SEC coaches, Citrus Bowl MVP, unanimous consensus All-America pick by the AP, Sporting News, AFCA, FWAA, and Walter Camp. The Giants, they kind of do have a record of drafting LSU wide receivers, i.e. Odell Beckham Jr. You know what? I'm just going to say this dude's going to be a buster. I don't know. I just have a weird feeling on him. I'm going to say buster on Malik Nabers. What do you think, Wig?
My notes here, one, undersized, 6'200", man. I mean, in a league, we're already talking about quarterbacks towering over him. not small. I mean, he did good at LSU. I just don't really recall that much of a standout with Malik Nabers. I mean, I'm not an LSU fan by any means, but the one game that I can remember him having some big plays in was teams that weren't really that impressive. Yeah, I don't want to piggyback on your term, but I just don't see anything. I would like to give him, you know, watching some of these plays, he's got some crisp routes here, but I don't see anything that makes him stand out as a baller. So I think he can do good things, but I think you nailed it. I think he can be a bust.
Wes, what do you think?
I think it's kind of a 50-50 ball. I'm going to say he's a baller, yeah.
All right, I'll go ahead and you say baller. I say buster. You say baller.
I say buster.
All right. Now we got the number 5 pick, which is J.C. Latham, offensive tackle. Oh, number 7. I'm sorry. I'm going backwards.
I was about to say, whoo, where are we going?
The number 7 pick. Sorry about that. Number 7 pick to the Tennessee Titans, J.C. Latham. Does he come from Alabama?
Alabama. Roll Tide.
Okay, Roll Tide there. So the Titans have a run-heavy offense. Looks like Tony Pollard's going to be in the lineup. And you have the offensive tackle. J.C. Latham will likely be key for the Lions' success. 6'6", 342 pounds from the University of Alabama. Was given a 6.71 prospect grade at the NFL Combine. So it looks like he's going to be a first-year starter. And he's coming from Alabama, so that's a plus right there. I'm going to go ahead and give this guy a baller. What do you think, Wiggy?
I think he's a baller. We talked about offensive linemen being ballers. Usually, typically pan out really well. 6'6", 342, out of Bama with an 11-inch hand. Average man's hand is 7.5-8 inches. That's a massive paw. Good for an offensive line. He was solid at Bama. Really solid. Second team All-American. Started all the games since, I think, 2021. Five-star recruit. I mean, I don't see how you could get more polished than that. Tennessee got a good pick there. J.C. Latham, ball out with that big check.
Ball out. Wiz.
That's pretty big. 11 inches, almost bigger than a deep, yeah. I think he's a baller. Roll Tide.
All right. Unanimous baller vote there. Now, this upcoming pick here is pretty interesting.
It's a good one.
Number 8, ATL, selects quarterback Michael Penix Jr. from Washington.
What happened? Can you explain that? What the fuck happened? Why would they pick him?
Well, my thing is, I don't know why you would even pick, I don't know why you would go and get Kirk Cousins, is my thing. But
touché.
You got a veteran quarterback, so he's not going to start, which might be good because rookies who start, usually that doesn't work out so well. And they need to sit him behind somebody like a veteran, which I don't know about Kirk Cousins, but you could also say they sat Patrick Mahomes behind Alex Smith and look at Patrick Mahomes. So
true.
It could work. Because at first I was like, I don't understand that. But, you know, if he's going to sit for a couple of years and be the number one backup, at least after year one, then this is not a bad decision. It really all depends on old Kirk and kind of what he does. So, but as far as Michael Penix Jr. goes, very talented quarterback, 2023 Heisman Trophy finalist, Maxwell Award winner, threw for nearly 5,000 yards in his final season to lead the University of Washington to the championship game, the NCAA championship game. Dude's got a great arm. I think he'll be a baller, man. I don't. This is kind of almost a 50-50 ball, but I'm going to give him a baller. What do you think, Wiggy?
I don't know if this is going to be one where we differ. I'm with you. I've looked at this, and I really liked Penix through this past season. I liked watching Washington, the Giant Killers. Love that Kalen DeBoer went to Alabama after the season. Penix is really interesting. Good size, 6'2", 216. Great arm strength, a cannon. He played lights out. I think when it came down to it in the Natty, though, two interceptions kind of hurt. I don't know what Washington and Kalen DeBoer were doing up there and how their coaching was, because, and I hope they bring it to Alabama, because it's pretty amazing considering when Penix was at Indiana, man, he really wasn't overly impressive. Whatever they saw in him, they brought it out. I don't know how to explain that in football terms. Is that just being part of the right team? Is it having the right type of coaching? Because, I mean, he had 4,900 passing yards, third in the country with 36 passing TDs, started all 15 games, 11 INTs, verging on high, but in a high-powered offense, man, that's really not, that's kind of to be expected. Two in the Natty, so when you're playing tougher competition, it may have gotten worse, but he was also pressured a lot too, so... they've got his comparison as Tua Tagovailoa. So, man, I want him to do well. I can't see it right now. I'm going to go Buster.
Buster! Wiss, what do you think?
Hey, I'm going to say he's a Buster, y'all. Straight Buster.
All right. I got Baller, y'all got Buster. Let's go ahead and number 9. We got Rome Odunze. I don't know if I'm saying this dude's name right. Looks like he's going to the Bears. He was a University of Washington alum. So they're going to put him there to help out old Caleb, looks like. In his final year. Wait a minute. Yeah. Because that's where Caleb's going. In his final year, he had 92 receptions for 1,640 yards, 13 touchdowns. Finalist for the Biletnikoff 2023. And also a 2023 All-American First Team selection on the WAA, PFF, and CBS Sports, The Athletic, and a 2023 All-Pac-12 First Team selection. It's a big dude. Good receiver. Going to the Bears, though. I'm going to say bust on him. What do you think, Wiggy?
Yeah, I think he's going to a good team that may work with him. Him and Caleb Williams might. He came with Penix. So, he's probably going to have a good quarterback there. They'll be young if they're both starting. Good combine result numbers, man. Ran the 4.4 on the 40. Good strong dude. The one thing that I noticed, he's been injury prone. 2021 missed a couple of games due to injuries. This dude had a broken rib and a punctured lung. Recovering on a kick in 2023, the game against Arizona last year. Stayed in the hospital overnight, rested over the bye, and came back in the win over Oregon. So, dude, that's a tough son of a bitch. Got to give him credit. A punctured lung, a broken rib, come back, hospital stay, come back to play 2 weeks later, man. I mean, I think that and I don't know, but I will say this, and this is just a hunch, but typically when you start having a string of injuries in your first couple of seasons and they're different injuries, you start questioning durability. I think he has the potential to be a really good ball player. The injuries kind of concern me, especially at a receiver, man. I think he's going to be a buster, not because of talent, but because he's going to be injured and banged up.
Yes, what do you think there, Wiss?
I think he's going to be a baller, dumbasses. I guess I'm feeling, yeah.
All right, and baller for Wiss. Let's go ahead and get to the last pick here, though. J.J. McCarthy with the number 10 pick, the Vikings traded up to get this guy. out of the University of Michigan. Looks like the Vikings traded with the Jets to move from 11 to 10 to select Mr. McCarthy. Of course, he played at the University of Michigan under Jim Harbaugh for 3 years, starter in 2022. Final year, threw for 2009, under 91 yards and 22 touchdowns, 72.3% completion rate, and just 4 interceptions to win the Natty. Named Grease Breeze Big Ten Quarterback of the Year, 2023 Rose Bowl Game Offensive MVP, top 10 Heisman Trophy finisher. The Vikings. I don't even know. I'm going to give this guy a bust. He's a buster. What do you think, Wiggy?
I think he's got good trajectory. One thing I absolutely like in a quarterback is one that does not turn the ball over a lot. I think you can work on the other variables that he has to improve on. Probably some arm strength. He lacks a little frame. Probably use that a little bit better. Muscle, but man, he gets out there. He'll put his shoulder down when he needs to, and he just doesn't turn the damn ball over, man. That, to me, is a good sign of a pro quarterback. Hand the ball off, make your plays, point guard it out if you have to. People call it a game manager. I call it staying in the league and making money. So I don't think he'll be flashy, but I think he'll make it, and I think that would probably tip the scales to a baller.
All right, yeah, baller. Wiss, what do you think?
I'm going with Jay Wiggy. I think he's going to ball out, y'all. Pretty cool.
All right, so we got baller as well. And that completes the top 10. I'm going to do one more pick here just because.
Yeah, it's a good draft. If you go add a couple more, I mean, well, I want to see your next pick. Go.
This is the last pick, only because this guy's coming out of Alabama, and it's the last pick. It's the 2024 Mr. Irrelevant pick, and the 2022 Mr. Irrelevant, Brock, what's his name?
Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Brock Purdy. So he went to the Super Bowl last year, so you never know what can happen. This guy is Jalen Key, coming out of Alabama with the final pick in the 2024 draft, number 257. He spent only one season at Alabama, school he transferred to after playing 4 years at UAB, the University of Alabama at Birmingham. He worked his way into a starting role, and he took the field with the top 11 and 12 of Bama's 14 games in 2023, 60 tackles, one interception, one pass breakup. So, you know what? I'm going to say somehow he makes it, and he becomes he is with the Jets, though.
Oh, God.
That's a conundrum. I'm going to say he gets traded and becomes a baller. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I think he's got some good upward mobility. I think if Alabama saw a lot in him, and when he went to Alabama, he was supposed to really make a splash. He didn't do a lot, but I think some people just might be late bloomers. You know, like you said, a UAB transfer. It's also hard if you're transferring from UAB. That program doesn't really play a lot of challenging teams like you're going to play with the Tide. So he made some key plays. I remember him a lot. I think there's a lot of work to do there, but I think, again, I think his trajectory sometimes is up. If you're getting drafted, regardless if it's first or 256, man, you got drafted. That's huge. A pro team thinks something of you to put you on the squad and give you some type of pay. So, yeah, I think his trajectory is pretty good. And so, will he be a baller? He might not, man. But, dude, you know, what's wrong with being a 10-year journeyman that just bounces around collecting checks and sits on the second and third roster, even the practice squad?
Yeah, that's a win if you're in the league 10 years.
Shit, that's a huge win. I would take that more than being a baller for one if it's going to, you know, if I can have a longer career and make a little more money and invest it over time. Shit.
Yeah, so you're going to say baller.
I'll go baller.
Baller, Wiss.
Roll Tide baller, yeah.
All right. So, baller all around, and that concludes this year's Baller or Buster, folks. Thank you for listening. And so, yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one, and we will probably follow up, maybe. I don't know. It's kind of a long haul kind of deal. So
we'll have to go back to the show last year and listen to it and see what we all said. I was surprised, man. I thought the draft was good. There was definitely some. It was predictable for the first few. Penix was obviously a kind of a wow. What the fuck? Honestly, thought Brock Bowers would have been a top 10 guy. He wasn't. Think he'll have a good career though. Bo Nix being 12 kind of surprised me too. What do you think about Bo Nix? You think he's going to make it in the league?
Possibly with the right team.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know that that's Denver, but
Thought Terry and Arnold at Alabama, great cornerback, man. I thought dropping to 24. I wouldn't say drop. You're a first round pick. Going to the Lions, I thought he would have been probably a top 15 to 20 in there. So I think the Lions got a steal with him. Again, I focus mostly on Alabama football, so I'm probably biased in that choice, but man, he was a really good talent at Alabama, and I thought he would have been snatched up a little bit sooner than that.
A lot of people had him in their top five, so that was a bit surprising, but
yeah,
you never know.
Never know. So the Baller or Busters are in. I did write down our notes on what we picked. Let's see how long I keep this list. We need to refer back to it during the NFL season. Let's commit to that. See how our guys did. We need to go back to last year's Baller or Buster as well and see what our guys are doing and see who's doing good on these picks. So, but you, like you said,
I can record it. So,
yeah, it's a 50-50 shot, man. I mean, these guys, you know, once you get to the league, I couldn't imagine how tough it is. The kind of grind. I think they earn their money too. So, we'll see. What a good weekend. Starting some NFL draft, dipping our toes back into the big football season.
Oh, baby. Let's go ahead and get into the news. Okay, all right. Hey, now. So, what do we got going on in the weird news? You know, we love world records. And I know you love tree huggers, Jay Wig.
Boo.
So, we have a world record here of a Ghana man who hugs 1,123 trees in an hour for a world record. A Ghana man studying... Oh, wow. A Ghana man studying forestry in Alabama set a world record for most trees hugged in an hour when he hugged 1,123 trees at Tuskegee National Forest. And so it looks like in our neck of the woods kind of here, a Ghana man set a world record for most trees hugged in an hour at the Tuskegee National Forest. Abu Bakar Tahiru, 29, age 29, became interested in nature conservation while growing up in a farming community in Tipa, Ghana. He is pursuing a master's degree in forestry at Auburn University. The record attempt required that Tahiru wrap both of his arms around each tree in a close embrace without causing any damage to the trees. No tree could be hugged more than once, requiring Tahiru to move quickly between each hug. Tahiru was fasting for Ramadan at the time of his record attempt, which presented another challenge. Quote, not being able to drink water throughout the attempt posed a significant challenge, especially given the physical exertion required, end quote, he told Guinness World Records. However, this also provided to be helpful in a way, as there was no need to pause for water breaks, allowing him to continue the attempt uninterrupted from start to finish. Averaging 19 trees per minute, Tahiru easily surpassed the minimum requirement of 700 trees to establish the record. The record raises awareness for the importance of trees and environmental conservation. All right, so he did get the record. Looking at the tweet of this young man. All right, good for him.
Yeah.
Interesting world record there.
That's a weird one. I like it, though.
It's weird, but it's not the weirdest. So,
you know what? I think some part of that has to take some effort, running around hugging a tree. That can't be that comfortable. I was trying to do the math in my head. That's like 3 trees every 10 seconds. Am I right? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's moving on the tree. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, and that's a good cause. Auburn and tree hugging, that's probably two of my least favorite things. So I don't know how much of a fan I am of that record. But in all seriousness, I can't see it being easy, and it's definitely not the weirdest. So I tip my hat to the Ghana man who hugged all the trees.
Yes.
He's an actual tree hugger, yeah. That's me.
Yeah, that is. He's a literal tree hugger. So there you go. I know Wiss loves dogs, and I do too. You know, I do too. I love golden retrievers. They're such sweet dogs.
Okay. I love golden retrievers. They're so fucking cute. Yeah.
A Florida golden retriever gives birth to a lime green puppy. This one is on YouTube, and it is green. A golden retriever puppy quickly gained fame online. Oh, yeah. What? I got to give credit. Ben Hooper. And I think he probably did the last one, too, because he's always doing these weird world.
You got to get him on the show one day.
This one just says UPI staff. So on the Ghana one. Yeah, we do. I mean, see,
need to get him to ask him to see what
I ought to do that.
Yeah, I say we do it. We quoted a lot of his stories. So, yeah, holler at Ben.
Oh, Ben Hooper. So this golden retriever puppy gained fame online. She was born green, lime green. Carol DeBruler, owner of Florida's Golden Treasures Kennel, posted videos of the puppy named Shamrock to TikTok, where the cute canine quickly developed a following. Of course, anything like animal related usually does pretty good there. Shamrock was born lime green, appropriate for a dog born in the Key Lime State. While the rest of her siblings are the expected golden hue, the unusual color is the result of the puppy's fur being dyed by Billy Verdon, a green bile sometimes found in the wombs of mother dogs. I've never heard of that before. The phenomenon has been documented before and is not limited to golden retrievers. A Nova Scotia couple's bulldog puppy was born the same color in 2022. DeBruler said Shamrock's green color has started to fade and she will likely become yellow like the other puppies in a few weeks. So, okay, yeah. You can look this up on YouTube and it is he is green. So, that's all. I've never seen that before.
I never heard of that before.
I never have either. Some kind of bile.
When you said that it was dyed, and then you explained the bile, at first it was thinking, "Oh, somebody dyed him green." I was like, "Oh, well, how the fuck is that news?"
But, yeah, I've seen those people do that crazy shit with other animals. They dye them colors, yeah, or
I don't like when they do that shit.
Tiger pattern or something.
Yeah, I don't. That's weird.
That's a little bit weird. Yeah. So, I got some video game news here. I don't know if I should do this one. Now you like Red Dead Redemption 2.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Okay. Well, we'll do this one for you then.
Do it.
By Zag Zween, Red Dead Redemption 2's house building scene has been recreated in Legos. Sorry, the house building song will be stuck in your head after watching this delightful fan animation. A Lego YouTuber has recreated the house building scene from Rockstar Games' open world western Red Redemption 2, complete with the catchy tune, a curious bird, and a pesky cougar. Cougar. Now, is that an old woman who likes to fuck young guys?
One way you can look at it.
Grant.
All right. Released in 2018, Red Dead Redemption 2 was a prequel to the original 2010 game. It told the story of Arthur Morgan, a character in Dutch's gang, along Red Dead Redemption 1 protagonist John Martson. And spoilers for RDR2, the game eventually ends with Arthur dying and Martson leaving the game as it falls apart due to mistrust and a lunatic leader. Eventually, in an extended epilogue, RDR2... features you taking on the role of Martian as he builds a home, seen later in RDR1, and sets up his life. And that is it's that light-hearted home building scene that has been recreated in digital Lego bricks. So you can see this on YouTube. You type in RDR2 house building scene in Lego. Uploaded to YouTube on April 25th. This Lego recreation was made by YouTuber Lego Crow, and they claim it's their biggest project yet. And so go check it out if you are a nerdo about RDR2. Looks like there's some detail of the Lego nails being hammered on the Lego pegs. The plates being installed in Marston's home. So, yeah. And around the 105 mark, Black Cougar creeps up and attacks John Marston. Later, he's being chased by the same large cat. So, yeah. All you RDR fans, check that out if you want.
Yeah, it's a memorable scene for sure. Definitely a... they had a lot of good songs in that. Willie Nelson sings Cruel World. I think the song was actually made for that. Poignant moment in the game after you transition from Arthur Morgan. Not transition, you know, like people do these days, but the cutscene. Arthur Morgan, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but if you haven't played it, who hasn't at this point? But it's a... really good. The home song, man, I don't remember it, but if I hear it, it does get stuck in your head. It's a cool scene, though, when he starts actually building the house. So, great game. I may have to watch it. I'll check it out after the show.
There you go. A little nerdo stuff for you to do there later on. Later on. I'm going to do one more, and then we'll take a short break and get into the video gaming review here. I've got some Switch 2 news. The Switch 2 might be attempting to harness the mysterious powers of magnets. This one by John Walker. Click on Joy-Cons. Sound like a great idea until you think about picking it up. A new wave of rumors are doing the rounds regarding the near-mythical Switch 2, Nintendo's much-deliberated follow-up to its 7-year-old handheld console, was recently speculated to have an 8-inch screen after Sharp Core reportedly massively upped its LCD screen production. Now we have word that it could be getting a very welcome improvement to its Joy-Cons. Magnets. If you own a Switch, and even if you wear Switch-based t-shirts, have posters of Yoshihiro Kawazumi on your bedroom wall, you're a nerd. You've likely had a moment where it's taken you five goes to get the Joy-Con to slide onto the stupid little rails on the side screen. Probably right when you're in a hurry because it's your train and you want to be a nerd on the train and play a fucking video game console like an idiot. No, I don't know. If you have a long ride, maybe I could see that. I don't use mine like that. But imagine instead if they had magnets. That's the rumor coming out of Spanish gaming site Vandal, which says it's a tip-off from an unnamed peripheral manufacturer. And so I don't know if that's good or bad. So, you know, we'll see about that. A controller that just magnetically snaps into the side of the screen sounds fantastic, but, you know, I don't know. How strong would that bond be? And if it's powerful enough to keep the thing feeling sturdy when you're playing on the move, I'm not even sure how that would work versus what it is now. So, and then that raises the issue of backward compatibility for the existing Joy-Cons. That's going to be more unlikely. But we don't know for sure here. So, let's just keep that on deck there and see what happens.
You got to tip your hat to these engineers that figure out how to do all this shit.
Oh, yeah, man. Serious fucking nerds.
Yeah. I wouldn't even think about something like that, to be honest. And it seems so simple, but I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. All right, folks. Let's take a quick break here. And then on the other side, we're going to do a gaming review of NBA 2K24, folks. So get your drinks and everything, and then come on back. We'll be right here. After these, not really messages, after this. back in. This week's show brought to you by Roger Harry. Get your hair did, fool! All right. So now we're back with a game review. Now, I went and downloaded 2K24 NBA. Let's get into it. Alrighty then. So I downloaded this bad boy for the Nintendo Switch. And that's a pretty good price. I can't remember which one I I don't think it was the Kobe Bryant edition. It was either $8 or $9 or like $24. I think it was the $8 or $9.
How many editions are there?
Oh man, there's the Kobe Bryant edition, the Black Mamba edition, and then like a regular one.
Okay, cool.
But I'm pretty sure my cheap ass fucking got the $9. Holla for a $9. Holla for $9.
All day. All day.
All day. So download this bad boy. And you know, there's something, I'm not a basketball guy anymore. You know, I don't ever watch NBA or college basketball. I just don't care. Back in the day, I did watch the golden era of the NBA, however, which was cool. You had a lot more characters, I feel like, back then. Michael Jordan was like this crazy basketball oddity that was magical to watch anytime you turn the TV on. And if you're lucky enough to see him in person, wow, which I never was, but I bet that was cool. It was more than basketball, I feel like, back in those days. John Tesh wrote the NBA on NBC song. And, man, what a cool, cool time. As I said lately, I just but I decided to go ahead and download this and, you know, give her a try. See what's going on, because I haven't played any real basketball games. Man, I'm trying to think of the last basketball game that I played.
NBA, you know? Jam.
Yeah, something like that. NBA Jam, or it's like some old school fucking game like that. So now NBA 2K20 is, of course, a basketball game developed by Visual Concepts Austin and published by 2K, based on the NBA, the National Basketball Association. It's the 25th installment in the NBA 2K franchise and the successor to, of course, NBA 2K23. The game was released on September 8, 2023 for Windows, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series XS. The NBA 2K24 Arcade Edition was released on Apple Arcade October 24, 2023. So, we're just talking about the Kobe Bryant Edition. He's on the cover of that and the Black Mamba Editions. There's a in WNBA cover too, or some shit. The cool thing about this game is you can like select from the old school teams. Let's get into some technical stuff here. 2K23 introduced various eras in the My NBA mode, so that was last year's game. All those eras return with the addition of the LeBron era, which begins the early 2010s when LeBron teamed up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh on the Miami Heat. The presentation graphics in this era are based on the ones from the NBA 2K10, albeit with the score bug being placed in the bottom right instead of the top. In addition, Mamba moments are the equivalent to the Jordan Challenge in 2K23, but now players can play and recreate some of Kobe Bryant's most memorable and exciting moments of his career. For the ball, Round Ball Rock by John Tesh was featured in the 1990s, as well as scenarios in 1990s Mamba moments, and is featured on the game's 2K Beat soundtrack in the current generation version. Pro Play is a new type of technology that translates NBA footage into 2K24 gameplay, as opposed to solely using motion capture like in the past games of the franchise. NBA players worked with 2K to replicate the moves they use on the court over a season. With Pro Play, jump shots, dunks, layups, dribble moves, pass animations, signature movements, inbound passes, and other minor details will all be upgraded. Game director Mike Wang. Wang. Said one of the benefits to use in is to increase animation accuracy of the retired or deceased players, which was tougher to do with motion capture. And it looks like there's a couple changes here. For the first time in NBA 2K history, 2K24 allows for cross-platform play, although it is only available on the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X versions of the game. 100 new dribble moves are added, which can be done by flicking the stick.
I love flicking my stick, y'all. Yeah.
And gets rid of the need for complex inputs. Takeovers also receive a change by allowing the player to boost stats, such as shooting or finishing when triggering takeover. So the 25th anniversary edition includes 12 months of NBA League Pass and support of regions until September 13th, 2023, with redemptions expiring on December 1st, 2023, and codes expiring on December 31st, 2023, and that's passed. So, bada boom, bada bing, bing. I'm gonna tell you, man, this is pretty fun. Because I played as the '85-'86 Bulls.
Ooh, that's.
And yeah, you can play as like the all Chicago. I had all the good like players from Chicago too, as another team. Which
I wanted
to
ask you who you played as, so that's cool that you answered that question. And it's fun that you did a more modern game review. I love the vintage because that's kind of the way we grew up. But it's kind of fun to see the flip side, what guys are and girls out there are getting now.
Yeah, and this is the very latest, my friends. Ooh. So. Yeah, dude, I've been playing the hell out of it because you can go back on the and be the old teams. Like that's with all of them. Like you can do the old Atlanta Hawks teams with Dominique and you know the old Lakers team with Magic and all that. So you can go back and do that. That's really the thing I want them to check out because like I'm not gonna play as any of the new teams. I want the old school shit. So I don't know, it's something cathartic about playing. Video game basketball. I don't know. It's weird.
It's kind of got a nice rhythm to it. You know, the fun thing I will say about video game basketball, football is a little more chaotic. Basketball is a little more relaxing, if that even makes sense. I played a little bit when I actually got my Xbox One. Got it from a mutual friend of ours, Thomas. And I think he included one of the old NBA 2Ks. I don't remember which one it was. It was years old, but I played it for a little while. I ended up giving it to my nephew because he's a big basketball fan. But man, it was really fun. And I mean, I think I really just enjoyed it. I guess maybe since I'm not such a huge basketball guy, I didn't really feel compelled to actually get intense, like to intensity with it like I do with football and shit. But yeah, that's a good way to put it. Cathartic, relaxing, chill.
Goddamn college boy over here with them big words and shit.
With.
Don't be hating.
Hating on the court.
So, yeah. I definitely would go get this game. I mean, $8, $9, even at $25, I think it's a good price, you know?
Yeah, that's a steal.
I'm going to give this 4 out of 5. Just because I think you can play it. I mean, it's got good replay value. I'll probably play a couple of games after the podcast tonight. I think there's it's definitely online. They got that. But I don't think I'm going to start online until I get a little bit more practice. Man, those kids be smoking me out there, man.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
People that, like, make money at this shit. So
I'm going to create the own team with me, you, Wiss, LD, Mr. Enigma.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I need to do that.
Well,
yeah.
We need to get the stats down on everybody. We got to get Mr. Enigma's stats down. Wiz, I would die if you have him draining trays from the arc.
Hell yeah, dude.
Girls bouncing.
I'm known for my longbow, yeah.
You're known for something, but it ain't that.
Yeah, it's not that.
So yeah, definitely that's a good game to go and get, man. A good one there. So y'all go check that out. Go get it. Go get it, man. Boop-a-doop. All right. So, man, we got to do UFL picks.
Got him.
There's the all right. Stuff. I got last week's results.
Last week's results? Yes, I do. Grant Mills, you and I were on the same page last week. We were both smoking it. A 4 for 4. 100%. Wiss, our buddy who drains the long ball, or so he thinks he does. He was 1 for 4. He picked
You're fired.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Can't wear my armor to fear.
Well, that's true.
Wiss got a tinge of sadness in his voice there.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, it was
like... Hold me later, yeah.
Good week for me and Grant Mills. I think we were on the same page. We had some good discussion about that. Did you get to watch any games this weekend?
I think I saw the Showboats. And I forgot who they played. And maybe some of another game, the Defender game, I think. But I wasn't really paying attention too hard. I was kind of doing other things. But I did turn it on. What about you?
Man, I turned it on in the sun porch. I kept peeking in, and I've loved watching it. I think I said it last year, but I've really gotten into looking forward to it every weekend. And even my dad was like, oh, I got to watch football this weekend. And starting to really get into it. So we still need to find a game to go to. But, yeah, man, it makes it enjoyable. It's hard not to pull for McCarron, too, man. I mean, he's not a Birmingham guy. He's playing for the Battle Hawks, but dude,
he's gonna come back here and play at some point. I forget which game it is, but
is it the one coming up? Is that
no, not this week, maybe next week. I don't know. He should be it's next week on the 11th. He'll be back in Bama, boy.
Yeah, I know they wanted to get a lot of people down there. We need to consider going one of those games. They here this weekend?
I think it's next weekend.
Nah.
I think. Don't quote me on that.
We'll have to see, man. It's already crazy because we're going into week 6. You're right. Week 6, Birmingham will be in Memphis with the Showboats. And then I think week 7, yeah, Battle Hawks and the Stallions. So, and then we got one, too, the May 18th. Birmingham's down there. That might be a fun one to go to.
There you go. Let's get the boys up.
Yeah, the Roughnecks and the Stallions. That'd be a good one. That's a Saturday at 8 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern. So might be doing some live on down there. But, yeah, great picks last week. What do we got this week? Week 6, Grant Mills.
So Saturday, May the 4th, 11 a.m. I'm guessing that's Eastern time. It doesn't say on here. ABC ESPN Plus. We got the Stallions and the Showboats. You know I'm going with the Stallions. What about you?
You know I am as well.
Me too. I'll tag you. All right.
And then we're going to go to 2 p.m. on Fox, the Roughnecks and the Battlehawks.
Yeah, I got to go with the Battlehawks.
Yeah, me too. I'm going Battlehawks.
I think it's going to be an upset just because that's what I think Roughnecks are.
All right, and then the Sunday game, we got the 12 o'clock p.m. Fox Renegades Panthers. I'm going to go Panthers on this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I got to go Panthers with you on that. You got the Michigan Panthers in Detroit at Ford Field. What could be more Michigan than that?
True that, my friend. Well,
I'm going Panthers, yeah.
And then we got the 3 o'clock game on Fox as well. The Brahmas and Defenders. I'm going Brahmas. What do you think?
You know what? You read my mind. I think we're going to do 100% this week. Brahmas looking pretty good. Defenders haven't been impressed me. What has Wiss got on this one?
This one's going to be an upset. I'm going to DC Defenders, yeah.
All right. So there you go. I think UFL picks. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. What are you drinking on tonight, Wiggy?
You know what? I've got some water, but you know what I had this weekend that was actually pretty good? I hadn't had in a long time a hard root beer, the alcoholic root beer. You've ever had one of those?
I have not. It sounds weird.
It's good. They're really good. The only thing about those, man, you will be burping like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds... Oh. Well, you just buy it at the store or something? Or?
Yeah. My wife got some, and we used to drink them. There was one, I think it was called like Dad's Hard Root Beer, and It was, you know, spiked root beer, a little alcohol in it, pretty good stuff. Had some of those, then a shot, and I started getting a little wild, a little cigar, and enjoying my, I think that was Friday. So really started just feeling it. And then, but nothing tonight, being behaving, I suppose. What do you got?
Well, I don't have them anymore, but I did drink. Have you seen those THC drinks, like Easy Hemp?
I've heard of them. I haven't seen them. Did you get them locally?
Yeah, so I went to the Pig and picked up a 4-pack of the Easy Hemp Mango THC CBD. I don't know what they're called. Just drinks, I guess. Not bad.
Okay.
I guess I got a little buzz. I don't know. I think so. This is all right. You know, I might pick up another 4-pack and give her another try, but they were, I think they're pretty good. It didn't taste like mango. It's not sweet at all. So, right. Yeah, it's kind of like those, what is those, Dad's, Happy Dad?
Yeah, the Happy Dad's. I think our friend LD, did he not have some last week?
Yeah, he had the grape, and it wasn't sweet at all, but you could tell it was grape. That's kind of how this tastes with the, okay. The mango, baby. But yeah, give those a try. If you're out there, there's mango, there's like a original flavor. I think there's a blueberry lime, maybe another one. I'm not sure. But
I kind of like some of those, man. I remember there was some quote online. Guys try to act all hard about that shit. Oh, you got to drink a regular beer, not that fruity bullshit. I can't remember what somebody said, man. But if it tastes good, fuck it. Enjoy yourself. Who gives a shit? And a lot of those... some of the fruity vibe are pretty damn good. I'd like to, so with the ones that are the THC infused or the CBD, whatever it may be, did you feel like you felt anything? Maybe just a placebo or?
I think so. It wasn't like crazy time or anything, but got a little buzz.
I'd try something like that. Maybe that'll be on our trip. We are about a month away from takeoff on our vacation with the boys, so I'm excited about that too.
Yeah, I do want to hit up a dispensary and see what other kind of shit they got. Probably all the crazy shit, too. So
you were going to love it. I know there was I was actually looking up that for you the other night to see how close it is to our Airbnb, and there's several, and they're not far away. So,
Oh, yeah. It'll
be good times.
Oh, baby, I'm ready.
Yeah, getting to that time. And you know what I saw the other day made me think about, this is just random, but I went to Oak Mountain State Park to do a little fishing last week when I was off. And they actually have full basketball courts down there. It's one, I don't know why it seems weird. I guess it seems normal. It's a state park, so they're going to have recreational shit. But maybe one weekend, get the old guys out and make some NBA 2K videos. Live down there. We'll get Wiss up to drain some trays.
I get Big Moose Dart out there to dunk on everybody.
Oh man, I got him in my brain. the goal came down.
Oh shit.
We can't come back.
Damn, that's funny. All right. Oh man.
Me, hey, Big Moose Dart versus LD, Patrick.
Trick Pat.
Trick Pat. And
at Patrick, Trick Pickett.
About to say, yeah, me, you, Big Moose Starred versus LD, Trick Pat, and Wiss.
Trick Tap. There you go, Trick Tap. All Trick right. Tap. Yeah, baby. Whew. All right, you got your meal prep going on. What's on tap for this week?
Oh, man, what do we have? I've actually done some breakfast this week, some protein pancakes. Got some Kodiak chocolate protein pancakes. Had them for breakfast, but, man, I've actually been doing that for dinners. Have you ever do breakfast for dinner?
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
I love that shit. Some eggs with some protein pancakes. Got some sausage. I know Big Moose Star's not going to like that shit. And... yeah, he ain't down with that bullshit. Got some fresh fruit this week, so try to change it up. Some salmon. Always try to keep a little salmon on the menu. And
fresh fruit.
So, yeah, some raspberries, blackberries, grapes, and strawberries.
All right. Sounds tasty.
What you got going on?
I don't even know until I cook it up. Thinking about doing a spaghetti bake, maybe.
Ooh.
Something like that. Maybe a little something. We shall see, my friend. you have any words of wisdom or final thoughts before we get out of here?
Always got something. I heard this one, kind of liked it. Remember, you're not procrastinating. You're giving your ideas time to marinate.
Whoa, baby. What about you, Wiz?
I'm taking a long way home, y'all. Love y'all. Peace out. Love, baby.
All right. Yeah. All of y'all, thank you for tuning in. I want you to have a great week, weekend. Hit the subscribe button, follow button. Man, what a good show tonight.
Great show.
Shout out to Mr. Enigma for being a guest for a little while there. And check out the old episodes. Funny shit there. All you guys. Like I said, shit. I don't have any final thoughts or anything, but have a great weekend. Be back here, 9:30 in the dirty. We shall see you then. We love you. Peace out.